And now the gospel reading from the third chapter of the book of Luke. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire." Now, when all of the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, and with you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. This morning I want to talk with you about an old word. It's a word we don't hear much anymore, either in church or even less in society. In fact, if you look at its usage over the past century and a half, something which you can do thanks to the modern miracle of Google, you can see that it's a word that's been in steady, steady decline over the decades. I think it's time we bring it back. The word is sanctification, and it is the process of being made more righteous and loving and godlike and sanctus, which is Latin for holy. Sanctification is the process by and through which the Holy Spirit of God works on us and works us over so that we can proceed from whoever it is that we are to whoever it is that we were made to be in Christ. Through the process of sanctification, the old passes away and the new comes, and a person is made to be like Christ. But, like most things that are of any real lasting value, it doesn't take place overnight. And maybe that's the reason why we don't hear much about it anymore. We like what we can do overnight now. Overnight mail, overnight oats, overnight sensations. But holiness, sanctus, doesn't come overnight. And a lot of how it happens can't be seen or counted. And that's probably why a lot of churches focus a lot more on salvation than they do on discipleship. Conversion rather than catechism. Because getting someone so-called saved and baptized is much, much more immediate and more measurable than is to get them to become more Christ-like. That was definitely the case with a lot of the Baptist churches I grew up going to. They talked about sin and the wages of sin and hell and how long eternity was. And the essential message almost every Sunday morning was a revivalistic, come and get saved once and for all message. And I did. I came once and for all, and then I came again, and again, and again. And that time I really meant it. Then I came once more on a youth ski trip in Colorado just to be sure. And the Southern Baptist Convention counted every one of my once and for alls as a decision of salvation. And maybe they all were. But the real problem on the revival rat wheel was that it was all talk about salvation, but never any talk about sanctification. All focus on decision, but no concept of decisions. And never any substantive conversation about the process of becoming. It was all about destination and arrival, but there was no map for the journey. But Christianity really is a journey religion. It's a process religion. It's a matter of becoming. And we don't get there overnight. That's why I've always loved what Maya Angelou used to say when people would come up to her and tell her that they were Christians. Already? You already got it? I'm still working at it. She was 85. This sermon this morning is a message to say that it is okay to still be working at it. And it's a message to say that we should still be working at it, always. It's in the text today, two lessons. In Acts, there is acceptance of Jesus and baptism in Samaria. But the acceptance and baptism aren't the end-all be-all. There is still something missing. And what is missing is the Spirit. So Peter and John come down from Jerusalem to Samaria, and they pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon the Samaritan people. Salvation was there, and baptism was there, but there still needed to be more. There needed to be the sanctifying process of the Spirit in the Samaritans' lives. Now, without that text in Acts, I don't think I would have ever noticed that according to Luke, what happened at the baptism in Samaria is the exact same pattern for what happened at the baptism on the Jordan of Jesus. Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, the scripture says, and then when all of the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, then the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Jesus wasn't just baptized one and done. Something more. He grew, Luke says. He grew in wisdom and in knowledge of God, and he came out in obedience to God to be baptized by John. And then he continued to pray, and the Spirit came upon his life. It's a pattern. It's a process. We are baptized, but that is not an end. It is only a beginning. But the work of sanctification, the work of being made holy, continues through prayer and through the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I've been praying for the Holy Spirit in my own life. Specifically, I pray every day for the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is called patience. And I know that I need it. I just took a 10-hour road trip with my children at Christmas, after all. And that means they just took a 10-hour road trip with me. I need more patience, and they need more patience, and we all need more patience with one another. We need patience with one another and with ourselves because we are all works in progress. And progress is an important word. In the AA tradition, they talk about progress, not perfection. That is because the early AA founders knew perfectionism is fertile grounds for all kinds of disappointment and frustration and eventually relapse. Bill W., one of the co-founders of AA, used to talk about trying to get to good by Thursday. We are not going to get to good by Thursday. Neither are we going to get perfect by Friday. It's progress, not perfection. It's process, not completion. And the process of becoming more Christ-like in our lives is a lifelong journey of being remade by the Spirit of Christ into the image of Christ. And just like in the first act of creation, when God made the world and all that is in it, not in one singular act at one singular moment in time, but by an ongoing series of acts over an extended period of time, so too is the act of our new creation a matter of time and evolution and birth and becoming and beginning and never ending. It is, in the old theological language, creatio continuans, an ongoing creation. We are ongoing creation. We are works in progress, or sure should be. I think that is one of the giant failures we have seen in our discipleship as the American church over the past century. We have so overemphasized a singular moment of salvation that we have absolutely neglected the ongoing process of sanctification. We talked all about being saved, but very little about becoming Christian, and even less about becoming Christ-like. So then, there is this very, very macho, machismo brand of Christianity that is very popular and very dangerous right now. It's a part of what marched into the Capitol carrying Christian banners last year. They carried the banners of Christ, But there was nothing that is Christ-like that was in it. Nothing that was Spirit-made. No fruits of the Holy Spirit. No love or joy or peace or patience or kindness or gentleness or goodness or self-control. It was the opposite of all of those things under Christian flags, which is blasphemy. All were baptized, but none catechized. Dunked by some John in some Jordan somewhere, but not yet humble enough to even know to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and to make them new. The Holy Spirit comes to cleanse us from our sins. But not only that, it comes like fire to refine us. It washes us of our sins, and it purifies us of our pride and prejudice, envy and anger. And if we are essentially the same persons with the same peevishness and prejudices now that we were 10 years ago when we were baptized, then something didn't take. We haven't yet let the Spirit do its work in our lives. We have to pray for the Spirit to work on us. And we have to let the Spirit keep working on us. And as they say in AA, it works if you work it. In other words, it works if we are humble enough to want it and to stay at it. It works if we want it and pray for it and surrender to it and are patient enough to trust and to wait on it. We're all in process. We're works in progress, and we're working in progress until one day, maybe, we'll be perfect, even as God in heaven is perfect. That is the goal. Not just a day of baptism, but a life of baptism. And it's a lifelong process. Holiness is a lifelong journey. If you ever travel to Charlotte, North Carolina, you can stop by the old homestead where Billy Graham grew up and where he and his wife, Ruth Bell Graham, are now buried. I was so very surprised to see Mrs. Graham's tombstone the time I went and paid a visit. Of all of the scriptures it could have had etched on it, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Believe on him to everlasting life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It was not a scripture at all that was on Mrs. Graham's tombstone. Instead, it was words from a sign she saw on the side of the highway after a long, long period of road work. "Construction now completed. Thanks for your patience." We are works in progress, and the Holy Spirit is still working on us. Are we there yet? Are we already Christians? No, maybe not. But we are on the way, and we are under construction. And as John, who baptized in today's Acts lesson, said, "What we will be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when it comes, we will be like him." And we will. We can, and we will be like Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, and Mother of us all, and together all of God's people then said,